يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. There's two commands that are directed to the believers. One is of taqwa, and number two is to join the ranks of the truthful. Taqwa, we all are quite familiar with the meaning of taqwa. But now, to apply this taqwa to our lives at all time, any given moment, at every level, to apply this taqwa is not so simple. You are desirous of doing something and you are about to do something, and then just when you are wanting to do it, then it flashes before your mind, flashes before your eyes that this is not allowed, and then you hold back. A teacher in a madrasa, child is making some mischief and he's working you up. He brought you to a point, you got worked up, and you want to slap the child, but then the ayat of taqwa comes before your mind, comes before your heart, and then to hold back straight away without any difficulty, without any resistance, without any hesitation. So this level of taqwa is not easy. A small level of taqwa, all of us will practice. Taqwa literally will translate restraint. You are fasting, so you will restrain, right? Someone brings some food here, no matter how delicious the food may be, but you will restrain. No matter how much he may entice us, or the food entices us, but we restrain. So this is a minimum level of taqwa that is practiced by every person. Every Muslim, every person practices it. Though this is great, but it is not sufficient. It is great, but it is not sufficient. The level that we need to bring it is that at any given moment, any given situation, and you can apply the taqwa. We come home and the wife says something. It will be natural for us to also reply. She is saying something and we are going to reply. But precisely at that moment, this verse flashes before you. اتقوا الله في الله تعالى. There is a business venture that comes up. And in that venture, in that business venture, you know, there is something that is not very clear, something not right. Your heart is detesting it. Your heart feels it's not right. The one end you look at it, it's a venture. I'm going to score so much, I'm going to gain so much. And on the other end, you got this verse of the Quran Sharif flashing before you. Ittaqullah, fi Allah ta'ala. So what are you going to do at that time? So this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it to be applied at any given situation, every given situation, this is what is required. Verbally, with your sight, with your ears, with your heart, in every respect, to apply this taqwa, to apply this. In any given situation, any given time, with any given person, but you're applying the taqwa. This is what is required. Ittaqullah. There is no maf'ul here. Ittaqullah. This fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but fear from what? Restrain from what? So there is no maf'ul. So it will apply to everything, in every situation. Mutlaq. Every place where you're supposed to be applying taqwa, then you apply taqwa. Whether you are with your enemy, or you're with him, and you can see now, he's killed so many Muslims. He's killed so many Muslims, he's caused so much of damage. Thousands of people he's killed. He was the causer of thousands, the killing of thousands of people. Bush or someone, right? He's the cause of millions of people dying. Then suddenly he just says, La ilaha illallah. Outwardly it seems he's saying it in a committed way. Now, are you going to restrain at that time? That's a difficult one. On the one end you're seeing this man had killed my brother, for example, or my uncle, for example. And now, suddenly he says, La ilaha illallah. So what are you going to do at that time? So this is that level of taqwa that is required. That at any given time, any given situation, any given moment, but you must be able to apply that taqwa. Hazrat Maula Muhammad Munir Saab, rahmatullah alayh, he was one of the early founders of Darul Uloom Deoband. And he was also perhaps the principal of the madrasa. So he was on his way to Delhi. He had the madrasa money on the way to Delhi. And like how you go and get your balance sheet and all that right. It's related to the public, so the public work, whatever public work, then there must be some transparency. What's happening? They contributed so many thousands of rupees. So where and how the monies were used. So they want to know. So it is just right that you get the books audited and get a balance sheet, get a report, and then you publicize it, you show it to the people so that the confidence also grows. They have that degree of confidence. Public work, we're supposed to be taking it in that way. Umar radiallahu anhu was about to deliver the khutbah and he says, Isma'u wa ati'u. Listen and obey. So one person stands up and he says, we're not prepared to listen and we're not prepared to obey. Why? That consignment that came of shawls, it was distributed amongst the people in Medina. And we see you wearing two shawls, whereas every person in Medina got just one piece. How do you have two pieces? So Umar radiallahu anhu pointed towards his son Ibn Umar Abdullah, asked him, he says, yes, it was namaz time and my father had just one piece. I lent him my cloth. Oh, now it's clear, now you can deliver the khutbah. So when it's public work, then people that are in charge, when they are questioned, then they shouldn't feel offended that who is this person to come and ask me. It's public work. Whether the person gave 1 cent or 1 million rand he gave, but it relates to the public. When it relates to the public, then we need to be conscious. We need to be cautious. Okay? Then we cannot say that this is a friend and try and cover him up at the expense of the public wealth. Public wealth, have to be very, very cautious. Hazrat Maula Muhammad Abdul Rahim Saab Rai Puri Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that this madrasa wealth, I feel very, very afraid of. I feel extremely afraid of madrasa wealth. The reason for it is, It is the wealth of hundreds of people. Someone gave 1 paisa, someone gave 10 rands, someone gave 2 rupees, all accumulated. Right? And if there was any discrepancy in this wealth, now who am I going to ask maaf for? Because it's his wealth, millions, hundreds of people's wealth. If it was one person's wealth, I can go and ask him, or it was your wealth, it was misused, make me maaf. So it's between you and him. Now it's the wealth of hundreds of people, how are you going to ask maaf? That is why in the Maal-e Ghanimat, Rasulullah had taken maximum precaution. After the distribution is done, someone brings something, perhaps a ball of wool or something he brings. So Rasulullah inquires from him, did you hear the announcement to collect, the announcement that was made to gather all the Maal-e Ghanimat? He said, yes. Then what stopped you from getting your wealth? What stopped you from getting this wool? This wool you brought now, you had heard that announcement then. Then why didn't you bring it at that time? So now you take this and you go and distribute it. I don't want to take the responsibility of this wool. Because how am I going to distribute it now? The whole wealth has been distributed, is divided. Now you bring this wool, this piece of wool. There's 500 people, 1,000 people. How am I going to distribute it amongst them? So Rasulullah had shown a lot of precaution in this respect. So Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib used to say that us maal se bada dar lage hai. Feel very afraid about this wealth. Ye kisi ka zati maal nahi. So this refers to anything, any public property, public concern, like a madrasa, masjid, or you got a hospital that's for the public, built with the public wealth, anything that relates to the public. So one needs to be very, very cautious about it. How you're using it, when you're using it. And number two is, if someone asks you to submit a report, then too you are readily offering that report. In the old zamana, it was such that common people were very, very particular about this. Very particular about this aspect of taqwa and caution with regards to public wealth. In the past, we had this Shah Jahan and Alamgir and Jahangir and all these people here. So there was an inquiry on one of his officials, Jahangir or Shah Jahan's officials. There was an inquiry. Someone was not very clear about his work. So when he presented it to the king, it was some late part of the night, the king told that person who asked an inquiry, he requested an inquiry, he says, in the condition you find him, you bring him now and now. So he brought him. And he was making some hisab. He said, this part of the night, and you were making hisab? You were doing some accounting? He said, yes, I was doing some accounting. What kept you awake to this part of the night? He says, I was balancing all the books up, and I found 2 rupees extra. Now, where did this 2 rupees come from? Where did this 2 rupees come from? I couldn't get it, I couldn't disbalance it. There was no evidence for this 2 rupees. See, if there's any money, there must be some evidence that is supporting it. Acha, this 2 rupees came, this was the source. Now, I can't find the evidence. So I can't balance the book up. Now, eventually, now, alhamdulillah, just 5 minutes or 10 minutes ago, I found the evidence for it, and now I can show how this 2 rupees had come. There's 2 rupees that come in this way, that one of the locks that was used for the royal tijoris or something, you know, the vaults, one of those locks were gone old and they needed to be replaced. So we made a request. The king had given us a lock in place of the old lock, and the old lock was sold. And we got 2 rupees for that. So this 2 rupees was for that old lock. So now you see that the books are all clear. This aspect of accountability, trust, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so great in their minds. It would not leave them at ease until they are sure, they are clear, their minds are absolutely clear. Now that the minds are clear, now you rest. But until then, you can't be at ease. Mawlana Azizur Rahman Sahib, these are 3 brothers, one was Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib, one was Shabir Ahmad Usmani, and one was, I think, one Habibur Rahman Sahib. They were 3 brothers, all Usmani brothers. And they were in Deoband right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning. Perhaps one of their father also was like the founder. Like how you have Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah, the founder. Then their father was also one of the founders of the madrasa. So, as he just went to sleep, he just went to lie down, spent about 1 hour or 2 hours, and one verse of the Quran Sharif struck his mind. Verse of the Quran Sharif, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That man will have only that what he strives for. Man will get only that which he strives for. Now, it's late at night, summer night, and it's late, about 10, 11 o'clock. And he can't get an answer for that. The man only gets that which he strives for, whereas we know about Isal al-Sawab, right? Someone does Isal al-Sawab, or someone makes dua on behalf of his marhum brother, or even living or the dead. So you get the benefit of it. Someone makes dua for you, or some Isal al-Sawab is done, and you get the benefit of it. And here this verse is saying, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And man only gets that what he strives for. Right. Now this has made him restless for 5 minutes. He says, no, I can't live with this. If death comes to me in this state, then I'm not clear about this one verse of the Quran Sharif. I'm not clear about this one verse of the Quran Sharif. That means, if my ilm is not clear with respect to this one verse of the Quran Sharif, then my iman is incomplete. That ilm will impact on the iman. You're not sure about this, you're not clear about this. So won't it affect your iman? It will affect your iman to that degree that you know the translation of it, but how it applies. There's a doubt in your mind that this, and as opposed to this verse, there is the hadith of Isa al-Sawab making dua for the mu'mineen, etc. All these are supported from the Quran and the hadith. Now how do you reconcile the both? So I don't want to live and I don't want to die in a state of doubt. My mind must be absolutely clear. But now how do I find a solution at this part of the night? 11 o'clock, already 12 o'clock. Where do I find a solution? Apparently, there's nobody here now. Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah has passed away. If he was around, I could have asked him, could have referred to him. But there's nobody. So you see this taqwa now. This taqwa doesn't allow him to remain still. My mind must be clear. See that relationship between Allah, between that banda and Allah Ta'ala must be clear. We don't play any games with Allah Ta'ala. Let our relationship be absolutely clear. No matter what difficulty we go through, but that relationship must be clear. You ate that one morsel, whether it was one date or what it was, whatever, but now the whole night you are unclear. Like, machli ki tarah se tarap raha hai. Whereas tossing and turning, tossing and turning, you can't get ease. Al-Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, sometimes you would get up late at night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, and he's tossing around. So when he's tossing around in that way, his wife, perhaps she perceives it, she senses it. What happened? So he says, no, in the day I had taken 1 rupee from you. You know, I wanted to buy something, so I had taken 1 rupee from you. And I haven't paid you for that. And I don't have the arrangements straight away to pay you. At this part of the night, I don't have the arrangements to pay you for that 1 rupee. And it may be that death comes in the state. What do I do? I haven't made any arrangements for this 1 rupee to be repaid to you. So now women are, like I said earlier on as well, they jump to conclusions and they say some things that they're not supposed to say. Say, yeah, yeah. The way you carry on, like, I'm going to, on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to hold you by your neck, hold you by your collar. How are you going to carry on like that? You know? Woman will carry on like that. The way you carry on, like, I'm going to hold you by your neck for the 1 rupee. So that's in his place. But yeh toh muamla ki baat hai. This is a matter of relation. This is a matter of transaction. So, now I have maaf you. So now you maaf me, now I can sleep. Now, in the next minute, he's asleep. But you see that relationship with Allah Ta'ala is spick and span. There is no mix up. You know, there is no unclarity, ambiguity in that relationship. Absolutely clear. There's no dirt. So this relationship with Allah Ta'ala must be absolutely clear. There mustn't be anything that will interfere and interrupt this relationship. Your mind and your heart will prompt you to taqwa. At-taqwa hahuna. It will prompt you. That is why the hadith says, istafti qalbak. Why does the hadith say, istafti qalbak? Because your heart will feel, it will sense that unclarity. The heart is the best scale, you see. It's a barometer. It's a scale. It's a criteria. And it will leave you uneasy. No, this is not right. You're doing it, you're saying something, but your heart is rejecting it. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ Though they rejected the truth, but their hearts were convinced. So the heart, you can't mislead the heart. You may reject and you may say something, but you can't reject it. Can you? The heart is seeing it. Now for your pride or your image or whatever it is, you'll have to say something, you have to stand by the word that you upheld. Right? But what is within your heart, you can't reject it. It's the truth. You can't reject it. That is why the hadith has made this the barometer. It's made it the criteria. Istafti qalbak. Ask your heart. Heart will tell you this is not right. There's something not clear here. We talk of ourselves. You see, many times, ordinary people, common people, Mawlana, if this is haram, I don't want it. One person came here. I was surprised. Some of these business people, but what degree of clarity they have in their faith. Mawlana, you tell me that I need to pay this man 5 million. That was a figure. I'll pay him now. You tell me. I don't need to know the reason, but you tell me that I must pay this man 5 million. I'll pay it to him. Do you see the degree of the clarity in the man's heart? Businessman, but the degree of clarity. He doesn't want any interference in his relationship between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give that 5 million, I give it out, but I don't want any problem in my relationship with my Creator. My Creator and myself, my relationship must be absolutely clear. There mustn't be anything ambiguous, a thing spoiling that relationship. So this is the degree of faith, iman, we need to have. Students, ulama, it's a great lesson for us. This Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib. And he is unclear, he is uneasy. This verse of the Quran Sharif has come. This is the type of mind a student needs to have. Came across a verse, came across a masla, you came across a hadith, and you're not sure of the application, how it fits, you're not clear. So you're not at ease. You're not at ease. You're finding out one person, second person, third person. You referring to the kitabs, or you're finding out. But just staying like this, and not attending to it, and allowing that mountain of doubts just heaping up on your head, is that right of you? Not right. Just now you'll become immune to all these type of things. First, the Quran Sharif has come, the Hadith has come, Masla has come, so you must feel uneasy. No, I must go and check it up, let's go and find out, telephone. All of us nowadays have got cell phones and all that. So can't we use the cell phone for this as well? No, I don't know this thing yet, I'm just going to find out. So you can't, if you can't access the kitab yourself, or for some reason you find difficulty to look at the masla, find out. Find out. And if one person you found out, but you didn't get your full satisfaction, the mind is not easy as yet, find out from the second person, third person, find out. But don't be calm and easy until your mind is at ease. Now you understood it, all right, this is how this verse goes. This is the meaning of this verse. This is the meaning of this hadith. So now your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is clear. Your knowledge is sound. So you don't have any doubt and suspicion in any verse of the Quran. So he's feeling, I've got a suspicion, I've got a doubt. If I got a doubt, then there's some unclarity in my faith, and I can't carry on like this. So that prompts him, says, no, I must go to Gango now, because this is the next best person that I can go to. And he will give me a clarity on this verse. I can't get it myself, no, I must go. I can't remain like this. Life is not just eat, drink, and sleep. Is that all life about? No. In life, your mind must be very, very clear, especially things that relate to your Creator. Then your heart must be absolutely clear, 101%. I can't allow anything. How you are clear about your tax forms, tax returns, and what, 101% clear. You don't want any problems with the revenue. They mustn't come to your house and attach any of your property or something. You get so afraid about it. You're very clear about it. There mustn't be any problem. Just now, one small mistake you will make, and they will attach your entire property. Then what are you going to do? So you're so clear about it. You're so concerned about it. You're so worried about it. You'll employ the best person, check it up, recheck it. Third, then you get an accountant, and he will write according to normal accountant standards. This is uplang free. Though he showed his client how to do the uplang. Right? So accountant's work, he'll show you all the uplang, how you must do it, whatever you must do. But then he will write the according to normal basic accountant standards, is to cover himself up. Disclaimer, they call it. Right. So now he's left his warm bed, his family, everybody, and on foot now. Imagine that time, you're talking of 100 years ago. Gangwe Ramta passed away. 1323. What year now? 1428. So 105 years from the time he passed away. And this incident must have happened at least 20 years before he could pass away. So 120 years, 125 years ago, right? So he went on foot at that part of the night. At that part of the night, now you're talking of India, some of you have traveled, Gango and Saharanpur and all these places, right? And it's just jungle, nothing, no life, absolutely motionless, no lights, nothing. And you are moving in that condition. Okay? No life, no movement, no car. The streets are all absolutely abandoned. And now, at that part of the night, you are traveling from Dioban right till Gango. Can you imagine now? You're all one by yourself, one out. I tell you that at 1 o'clock in the morning, you travel all by yourself on foot. From here, you must travel just to the beach, beach, and come back. Will you find it easy to do that? Just from here to the beach, go all yourself with all the lightings and everything. or better still, from here to that, you know, the bottom beach, what they call it? Huh? Yeah, out of it is that other beach, down. Yeah? If I tell you from here, go down to the beach and come back. Yeah? And better still, if I tell you, from here I just go to Dayal Road, Kabristan, all yourself, at 1 o'clock in the morning. Gee, how you feel? I imagine now at that part of the night, 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and he's traveling all by himself. This is a taqwa, you see. That taqwa is leaving him uneasy. It's keeping him uneasy. And this is the dictate of the taqwa, that your relationship between yourself and Allah Ta'ala is absolutely clear. There's nothing, no hanky-panky, nothing in between. Absolutely clear. Mind is absolutely at ease. Then will you feel that ease? You will feel that happiness of that relationship. That relationship that you need to have with your Creator, you will enjoy it, you will relish it, and you will feel happy about it, you will feel comfortable in that relationship. But you allow any spoke in that, if allow any interference, then you will not feel that type of comfort and that type of ease. It's something not right. Your conscience will always tell you that something not right. So Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib, he leaves at that part of the night, and he comes to Gangoa, because Deoband to Gangoa is about 35-40 k's, right? So he leaves on foot, and he comes to Gangoa. At that time, Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullahi is making wuzu for Tahajjud Namaz. And here, Mawlana Habibur Rahman is asking Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullahi this verse of the Qur'an Sharif. So Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullahi gave the answer, that yahan par sa'i se murad, sa'i-e-imani. Sa'i-e-imani. In other words, without iman, how it will explain, without iman, nobody can be of any avail to the next. You understand? Without iman, nobody can be of any avail, of any assistance, of any help to the next. You understand? وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ وَمَا كَانَ Was it by the Quran? That you can't make dua for a kafir. أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ Can you see? So without iman, you can't be of any avail. Right? Without iman, you can't send any isale sawab. Nothing you can do. So this is speaking about that situation where there is no iman. Without iman, one cannot be of any assistance, of any benefit to the other. Now he's got the answer, and there's no need for him to remain here. And at that part of the night, he's coming back to the Uber. See the clarity of the mind. Now, when you see these people's incident, then it reminds you of this muhaddisin. This muhaddisin of the past. That's why I say that without studying the lives of our Kabir, Buzurgan ad-Din, then you can't enjoy the hadith. You can't understand application. Their company, and read up their lives. I recommend this kitab, Abiti, at least 10 times read the kitab. And I say it, I mean it 10 times at least. Read it. Go on reading it. Allah has taken the pains of collecting so many Akabir's lives in the treatise of his. So many people's lives he's got it inside here. Must be studied, and studied in Urdu. English you'll get, but you'll get the khulasa of it. You don't get the real, you know, the word of the Ahle Kalam, the Musannif, what was his actual word, what he wrote. Right? So you must study it, go on studying it. You know that Sahabi is going to collect one hadith, and he collects that hadith, and that Sahabi says, come home, at least come and have me. No, I just came for this. I left Madina Munawara, 50,000 sawab I left, just for this. Now that work is finished, I must go back to Madina Munawara. I can't, 1 second I can't wait. See? So you see the iman, the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely spick and span, absolutely clear. There's no interference, no disturbance in that relationship between them and Allah ta'ala. Absolutely clear. So this is what is required, this is what is needed in that iman. That iman is so, it's so delicate, it can't tolerate any nonsense, any problem it can't tolerate. It will reject it. Iman is so clear. It's so delicate. Like how you have milk. It's very, very delicate, right? Anything alien, it can't take it. If you put anything alien into that milk will lose itself. It will lose its originality. Now it won't be milk, it will be sour milk, curd, whatever it is, whatever else. But that original milk, it can't. Anything alien, anything foreign, it will not be able to tolerate it. So that's your iman. That iman, it doesn't tolerate anything. Anything, it must be absolutely clear, clean, clear. And that is why they say, jaddidu imanakum, refresh in your iman. All the time, you refresh in your iman. When you're saying la ilaha also, that ilahana batila, all that batil that has come into your system, as though you extracting it, you're taking it out all the time. You're refreshing the iman, you're extracting in the course of the day, in the course of your work, some things that have come to you, some things may have impressed you, overawed you. So again, you're clearing it up, that nothing must impress me. Nothing must overawe me. Nothing must prevail over me. If it is that anything overawes me, anything prevails over my mind, then it must be Allah Ta'ala. Illallah. La ilaha illallah. Anything. Nafs, shaitan, world, temptations. I'm eliminating everything. And just the majesty, the greatness, the love of Allah Ta'ala must be instilled in my heart. I'm eliminating everything from thy system. كُلُّ مَا أَلْهَاكَ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ صَنَمُكَ. Whatever distracts you from Allah Ta'ala, that's really your idol. It distracted you from Allah Ta'ala. Nothing was supposed to be distracting you. It has now cornered your heart. It has captured your heart. So when it's captured your heart, that is like your mabuda ne batila. That has become like your God. So eliminate it. Eliminate it. So you see this taqwa and what this taqwa requires of you. That everything, keep that relationship with Allah Ta'ala absolutely clear, absolutely clean. You're going to sleep from the evening, start increasing that istighfar. Istighfar, kalima, whatever it is, but you're increasing it. Why? Now, it's a different phase of the day. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. You're going to a different phase of the day. You're going to retire. You retire, now your mind is more at ease. It's more relaxed. Now that you are relaxed, you are reflecting over the happenings of the day. Whatever happened in the day, you're reflecting. So when you reflect, then you'll find there were certain situations that came about. People, things, whatever. Something had affected your mind. You went to the mall, for example, gateway, right? And that, the way the layout and all that, it really prevailed over your mind. The greatness of it and the attraction of it, it overawed your mind. So now, you're going to make istighfar, you're going to make some kalima, etc. And you'll eliminate all that. Otherwise, that mabudana batila has prevailed over your heart. It has sat in your heart. Then that will become a reality. That gateway or pavilion will become a reality. You will think about it. You will think about the greatness of it. So, as you're approaching night now, then you're going to eliminate all that. فَسَبِّحْ. That is why the word that has been used, tasbih. And tasbih is to glorify. And when you glorify, you're removing all type of blemish, all type of stains. All type of stains that have come in you, in your relationship with your Creator, all that blemish you are taking it out, all that stains you are taking it out. With the power of tasbih, you are eliminating it. Right? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. So when you eliminate all those stains, what will be left? Hamd will be left, right? The hamdi rabbik will be left. That I don't attribute anything to any of these worldly things. Any of these worldly things, if I attribute it, then Rabbik, it's to my Rabb. I attribute every greatness and every majesty, every supremacy, all type of highness, I attribute it to Allah Ta'ala. praise, highness, majesty. So فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. See, قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. Because this is the time that you're going to retire. قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. One is when you are leaving home. So you're leaving home also with that frame of mind. My mind must be clear that it's not my business, it's not my people, it's not me. It's not me that will do anything. You need to make nafi even of your own self, that I can't do it. Or Mashaykh say that the more you make nafi of everything, including yourself, will you begin to witness the quwwat of Allah Ta'ala. Consider yourself to be absolutely helpless, useless, hopeless. You must think like that. And all power, all greatness is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you feel convinced, the more you have the certainty, will you experience the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that must be a reality. It must be a conviction. At all times, your intelligence is nothing. You are nothing. Your strength is nothing. Your wealth is nothing. If it is, then it is Allah ta'ala. It is the power of Allah Ta'ala, it is the majesty of Allah Ta'ala, it is the might of Allah Ta'ala, it is the treasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What will make the day work for me is Allah Ta'ala. It's His power. It's not my knowledge, it's not my greatness, it's not my how smart I am. It's not me that will make the thing work. It is Allah Ta'ala that will make it work. So, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. You're retiring, and when you are going to work, because it's a challenge now. You see, you're going into the world, so you'll be confronted with all these situations. And you need to have a clear frame of mind. As I said, your relationship with your Creator must be absolutely clear. There mustn't be anything that is disturbing and tainting that relationship with your Creator. Okay. So this is how you will clear it. This is how you will wash it out. You will clear it up. You will sift out all the dirt. You need to be in a constant movement. In a constant movement you need to be. You see the sea, it doesn't remain still. It's in a constant motion. There's things that are coming into the sea, and the sea is working itself and it's throwing it out. It's making La Ilaha. You can see? La Ilaha. You out. Any dirt comes in and the sea is working its way out, it's throwing it out. Again, it's coming clear. And the dirt is falling into the sea all the time. All the dirt of the earth is moving towards the sea all the time, all the time. And the sea is working its way all the time. Do you see the sea still at any time? No, you don't see the sea still at any time. So the same with the heart of the believer. He needs to clear this dirt out all the time. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكِ. All the time, you're clearing it up all the time. You're not allowing it to accumulate at any moment. See, that nafi, not only from things, even from yourself. I'm nothing. So the more you will make nafi and reject things yourself, will you experience the power of Allah Ta'ala? Will you experience and see the ilm of Allah Ta'ala? You say, no, mera ilm to kuch nahi. And you mean it, you are convinced about it. It is not just a matter of convenience. No, not just because of someone telling you, no, you're a big alim or something, no. You're not showing this humility. Rather, it's a conviction, I am nothing. My knowledge is nothing. Okay? It's Allah Ta'ala's, it's not mine's. Okay? This words, Ya la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, is one of the khazain of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you are saying when you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Any good that you see is not from me, and the evil that is avoided is not from me. It's not from anything, not from anybody. Nobody can bring the good, and nobody can resist any bad. What? Nobody can bring the good, and nobody can restrain evil. But with Allah Ta'ala. So the good is coming from Allah Ta'ala, the evil is being restrained by Allah Ta'ala as well. So these are just the two things that will come in this world, will be good or evil. Is there any third thing in the world? There's no third thing. It's good that will come or evil. So the good also comes from Allah Ta'ala, and the evil also is You guard it against the evil by the will of Allah Ta'ala. You protect it against evil by the will of Allah Ta'ala. Any type of good, any type of evil. Good can be wealth, good can be deen, can be namaz, any act, any good act, or any good fortune for that matter. And evil too, sin, loss, any type of evil. So you can be only guarded and protected by the will of Allah Ta'ala. So it's a khazana. So you need to repeat it all the time. That is why you entering your business, la hawla, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. Like yesterday I explained, this friend is explaining his friend that dakhalta jannataka qulta mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. This is what you need to read. Otherwise, you bring your friend to your home and you want an applaud from your friend. You want some words of praise from your friend. See my home. See this room and see the kitchen and the toilet, what type of tiles are used and all that. See? And how the tiles are matching with the floor, and the floor is matching with the parda, with the curtain, and the curtain is matching with my shoes, and the shoes with my socks, and the socks with the trousers. See? So you want that applaud for yourself. No. Leave it to Allah Ta'ala. The applaud is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah needs to be repeated. All the time it needs to be repeated. So your mind also needs to be in a constant motion. Constant motion. And when it's going to be in a constant motion, then you will see that type of relationship that you need with Allah Ta'ala. See? And that is why the possible hikmat, the possible wisdom. The Ahla Jannat will say tasbih like how we breathe, you know. Like how we breathe, they will say tasbih. So this may be the wisdom that the mind, in order to get its total peace and conformity with Allah Ta'ala, you need to keep it in a motion all the time. Not only here, but even there. You need to keep it active all the time. It's rejecting everything else but Allah Ta'ala. So your mind is rejecting it. So the tasbih is just coming out, it's just flowing, automatically it's just flowing, like how you're breathing, the tasbih is just flowing in you. Kana yaskuru Allah fi kulli ahyanihi. All the time. See? So we are talking of Mawlana Muhammad Munir Sahib, one of the founders of Darul Uloom Deoband, and he is going to do that balance sheet, whatever it is, for the madrasa, and I branched off and I showed that when it's any public work, public related work, then there needs to be total transparency. And if someone asks for a report, then you shouldn't feel offended. Who are you to come and ask me now? It's public work. I have given even half a cent, but the fact that I have contributed something to this institute, whatever it is, I've got the right to ask now, how was my half a cent used? He's got a right to do that. See? So, Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah used to say, like I said early on, that is madrasa ke maal se hame bara dar lage hai. Feel very, very afraid how to use it. The slightest mismanagement that you're catching it. How many people are you going to go and ask for maaf? Umar radiallahu anhu, perhaps he was seated in the Baitul Mal doing some hisab or something, and some sahabi comes to visit him. And he extinguishes that lamp and he engages in talk. So this is the Baitul Mal. This lamp belongs to the Baitul Mal. And I can only use it for the work that's related to the Baitul Mal, not for talking with friends and all that. Okay? Now again, I say, see our akabir. You will see the same color in our akabir. Maulana Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi, he is seated on the masnad. Now they have a small gadda like a carpet, especially reserved for the ustad, who's going to deliver that lesson. He is seated there and he's about to start the lesson. One person calls him, I need to make a mashwara. So Azad moves from that carpet, that special carpet that was there for the mudarris, he moves on to that other area that is plain, like how this area, and here. comes here. That person tells him, you can sit down there, remain here. I'm going to discuss something with you. You don't have to move from your place. You know, this place here, this special carpet, was given to us by the madrasa to conduct hadith, to conduct lesson, not to discuss and make mashura with friends. See that the same now, same thing reflecting on these people's lives. So without them, you can't really understand what is taqwa. You can't understand what is virtue. They applied it. And they applied it, now you know, acha, acha, this is how they applied it. See? So, Mawlana Munir Sahib, Muhammad Munir Sahib, he lost the money that was meant for this. Now, without making any noise about it, without saying anybody, what he did, he came back home. He had some property, he sold that property, took that money, and he's going off to Delhi again. Now when he sold it, people got to know that he sold his property and all that, so that word went around. They understood what happened. So they sent a stifta, a questioner to Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi. Okay, this was the situation. He came, he had taken the madrasa money and he was gone to Delhi for this work. And on the road that money got lost. But it was no negligence of Mawlana. From his side there was no negligence. The money got lost, it got lost. Now what can he do about it? So Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi wrote the fatwa that Mawlana was the Amin of the madrasa. He was the trustee. He held the money of madrasa in trust. And there was no negligence on his side. So he is not responsible for any damages that happened in transit. He's not responsible for it. Anyway, at fatwa, then they showed it to Mawlana Muhammad Munir Sahib. Because there are a lot of his families now. They are worried about Mawlana. How is, what is he going to do now? He sold his property. That was now one of the things that was bringing that revenue. He sold that property. Now, they bring that fatwa to Mawlana Muhammad Munir Sahib. Muhammad Munir Sahib, rahmatullahi, he looked at the fatwa and he says, kya Mauli Gangohi ne ye tamam fiqh mere hi liye padha, zara apne chhati ke upar rakh kar ke dekhe ki agar unke saath ye baat ho gayi so kya ye hi karenge. He looked at his own self. If this had to happen to him, will he go on that fatwa or will he go on the taqwa? Now, both were giants of taqwa. Mawlana Munir Sahib also was absolutely certain that if this thing had happened to Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, he wouldn't have gone by the fatwa route. He would have gone by this route here. He would also have done the same, because they know what a sensitive thing this thing is. What a sensitive thing it is. He would have not preferred going on this route. He would have gone that route. So this is what I say. That this hadith says that istafti qalbak. So when it says that istafti qalbak, what it is saying? Actually it's saying that the real criteria is your heart. That real barometer is your heart. I can fool people and all that, but your heart will say, you know, there's something wrong. Koi dal mein kuch kala hai. See, you will sense it, that there's something not right, something unclear. You can ask 10 people, 20 people I can ask, but my heart feels unclear about it. So istafti qalbak. So the best scale and the best barometer is that barometer of the heart. So therefore you must refer to the heart. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb.